The song we sing, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. What is your response to Calvary? What is your response to the Son of God giving himself completely, fully for you? Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. There's a verse in Romans that's part of the gospel. And it's this. 12 verses 1 and 2. You know it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It seems that everything that's come before has led up to this. This verse, all that Christ has purchased for us, his salvation full and free to a helpless, hopeless, broken world, he offers salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we talked about faith and how it's so necessary to living and walking with God. Abraham walked by faith. We have abundance of grace to reign in life, to be overcomers. We have died with him. We've been raised with him. We walk in newness of life. And then we know that the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. And I can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is all part of the gospel, beloved. The full salvation that he has purchased for us. But now, what is my response to that? Even the chapters in between, we didn't touch on 9, 10, 11, but there we read about the sovereignty of God. Oh, hallelujah. Confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that Jesus was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. God makes choice, but what's my response? I present myself. I yield myself. I yield this body a living sacrifice. That means every day I'm on the altar. Lord Jesus, I'm not my own. You've bought me with a price. Glorify yourself in me today. Not my will, but thine be done. We pray like Jesus prayed. We lay down our lives every day, and he lives his life in us. So what is it that keeps us from giving ourselves fully? Or maybe, let me say it this way, what keeps us from continuing on in that way of living sacrifices, yielding ourselves to him? I just wanted to, maybe we'll come back here, maybe we won't, but let's just turn to Hebrews also. Hebrews 11. We looked at the different heroes of faith. But there are some verses in the beginning of this chapter beginning at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, and talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Have you made that confession? Have I made that confession that I am a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth? What it means is that this world is not my home. You know, too often we get very comfortable here. God blesses us. And we kind of settle down and we enjoy the blessings of God. And somehow it takes the edge, as it were, off of our desire for more of Him, of seeking Him with all our hearts. Well, I got a blessing and I feel good inside, and God worked at me while I was at camp, and that's wonderful. It is. It's a wonderful thing what God does. But the danger is that we just lose out a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and we forget that we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. It goes on to say, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." If this world's not my home, where is my home? Where is your home? It says they desire a better country. I'm sorry. They seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful, and here it is, of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. And I think that's the problem with us, with me. Somehow I'm still mindful of the country that God brought me out from. He says, come out from among them. He brings me out of the world. But somehow I still have maybe a little desire for the things of the world. You know, in John, 1 John, it says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And Brother Hans made the comment, Uncle Hans made this comment on that. It's our self-love that keeps us united to the world. We love ourselves. We seek to please ourselves. It's in all of us. And God has to deliver us from that. Take away that desire for the things of this world. Lord, I don't want to be mindful of the country from whence I've come. You've brought me out of the world. I don't want to go back. I don't want to look back. A few weeks ago, we had the story of Lot in Sunday school. That's a whole nother sermon, right? A whole nother lesson. But I'm thinking of Lot's wife. Have you ever read that story? And she just looked back. Maybe there was that longing in her heart. And the angels had said, don't even look back. Flee. Get out. And the amazing thing is that they finally had to grab them by the hand. Can you imagine that? And pull them out. And she turned around and looked back. And I just wonder if Brother Paul prayed that way for us this morning. About relationships, about things that maybe we're going to have to sever. And I think it was surgically remove. Was that the phrase? Just cut it, you know, cut it away. the things we look at, the music we listen to. Is it pleasing to God? Or is there a little bit of the world that has a hold on your heart? And see, that's why it's difficult then for us to truly be these living sacrifices, because we're still looking back at what we've left behind. This is just one other thought here is this. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, it says. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now that to me is a very interesting verse. It says, I would like to ask you, what is it that God can be ashamed that we say that he's our God? Do you get that? Do we live in a way that when God looks down, he's ashamed to say, those are my people? Just a little maybe story. Maybe it'll fit in. Maybe it won't. I was in Japan when Billy Graham was holding a crusade there. I was visiting some people we knew. And so we had the opportunity. We were visiting people that worked for the State Department, the U.S. State Department. So we were able to come to a reception for Billy Graham in the U.S. consulate in Tokyo. And I got to shake Billy Graham's hand. It was like shaking the Pope's hand. There's a little bit more to that, because one of the fellows with us was Catholic. So I was trying to explain to him what this was like. And I said, John, this is like shaking the Pope's hand, okay? Not really, but that's... Mr. Mondale was the ambassador at that time, and he introduced Billy Graham. And I believe Billy Graham started with this little story. And again, I don't know how this fit into his remarks, but... Just think about this, about being ashamed to be called our God, right? To be identifying with us. Well, he was on a flight, Billy Graham, and the man in front of him had too many drinks on the plane, and he was getting out of hand. And he was, you know, being disrespectful to the stewardesses and the people around. And so finally, the one stewardess came to him and said, Mister, you really have to be, you really should stop behaving this way, because Billy Graham is sitting right behind you. And so the man got up and he shook his hand and he said, you don't know how much your preaching has done for me, brother. Now at that moment, Billy Graham probably didn't want to identify with him. But is God ashamed to be called our God? Is it that we don't believe him? I think in the context of this chapter, it's, you know, you're not taking me at my word. You don't believe me. You don't believe that I have something better for you. I have something better prepared for you. It's a better country. It's a heavenly country. This world is not your home. And the wonderful thing is that although we're looking forward to that day, we're going to be with him forever in that place he's prepared for us. Heaven has begun, beloved, if we're learning to walk with him day by day and live in his presence. That's the heavenly country that we're entering into. It's not going to be like you're going to just step one day across Jordan and you're going to be in heaven and everything's going to be wonderful. You know, Dad often has told us, if you don't learn to praise the Lord here down on the earth, you're going to be out of place in heaven. Because they praise the Lord day and night. What are you going to do? And so we can enjoy the blessings of heaven now. In Ephesians we read we're seated in heavenly places. When? Now. In Christ. Now. We've begun to enter in to this wonderful possession. The wonderful country that he has prepared for those who have said, this world is not my home. Come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll be a God to you. I'll be your father. You will be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. And so what's our response to this? We present ourselves a living sacrifice to him. We've heard wonderful things here. God has drawn very near to us. And I don't mean wonderful things in the things I've said. I mean wonderful things that God has spoken to us through testimonies, through songs. His Spirit has been here to minister to our hearts, to draw us to himself. And so I want to respond and give myself, to put myself upon that altar daily, daily. Every day, Lord Jesus, today, I give myself to you. Have your way in me. You see that Romans 12, maybe we just turn back there real quickly. It gives us this picture of what the Christian life ought to be. It's not just, you know, the first part of Romans there, it really tells us the gospel and puts the doctrine together for us. But that second part now, beginning at chapter 12, it tells us how we ought to live. How we ought to live. Why do we need our minds to be transformed? It says there, the renewing of your mind, right? Or transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then he goes on to say, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Why do I need my mind renewed? Because I often think more highly of myself than I ought to think. And God has to renew my mind, change the way I think, remove the pride from my heart, so that he can work in me and through me. Think soberly, according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, on he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And it goes on, and it shows us how we ought to live as the body of Christ. I'm not like you, you're not like me. Thank God. But God has given each one of us, you young people, a measure of grace. Each one of us has been given a measure of grace. And he says, now take that grace that I've given you and by faith put it into action. Use the gift I've given you. Be a blessing to someone else. Share your faith. Share your testimony with someone. Volunteer to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe it's just to help out with the children. That's where you'll begin. But God will then increase you and make you a blessing. And you don't know where God will take you. You know, I've been so blessed. Two young ladies this year were here at camp. Not from our churches back in New York City. But two of them have come through camp and are now on the mission field. Thank God for that. Praise God. And so I don't know how many missionaries I'm talking to tonight. I don't know how many of you are going to be ministers, evangelists, teachers. What will God do if we would just give ourselves to him? And say, Lord, I'm yours. Have your way. Have your way with me. And we want to have faith for one another, that God is able to keep you and to make you all that he wants you to. And so again, I've just been very blessed. I've appreciated everyone that's been here, the guests. So nice to see old faces, I mean old friends. And then to have new friends, right? In Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And And God is at work, a wonderful staff. Continue to seek God. Continue to give yourself to Him and say, Lord, have your way in me. I'm not my own. I'm yours. We've been encouraged in these days. I'm going to say this in closing. We've been encouraged in these days to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's keep that in our hearts. May God put a hunger in our hearts, a thirst for Him. And God will not disappoint. God will not disappoint. Do you think God puts that in front of us and says, I have something more that I want to do for you, and He doesn't give it to us? God's not like that. And so let's go after God. Go after Jesus. Lord, I want more of you. Jesus, I want to know you better. I want to love you more. And when we seek Him like that, with the whole heart, we're found of Him. And He comes and takes possession of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. So again, let's just ask the Lord to examine our hearts.